You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Even though it is the weekend, I'm willing to bet that you can't entirely escape your work when you're not there. Because now we have email, texts, and programs like the messaging app Slack, where you can stay in constant and sometimes unrelenting touch with your colleagues. And that, perhaps predictably, has led to something we're calling Slacklash. That is, people in companies who've gotten overwhelmed by all this communication and are rebelling. To talk about all this, we brought in Susan Lamott. She founded Exequio HR, which is a workplace consulting company. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So we've seen a bunch of articles lately and people saying, I'm giving up Slack. I don't want to communicate this way anymore. It seems as if there's a rebellion against workplace, instant messaging. Why do you think this is happening?
I think the biggest reason it's happening is because there's so much noise now that's impeding us from getting actual work done. Years ago, there were only a few ways to communicate, phone and in person, and then we added email. Now we've got at least 10 categories of communication, and then all of these different tools within those categories. And that noise is making it really hard to figure out who to talk to, how to talk to them, and when.
Well, what have you seen about who prefers to communicate sort of which way and how?
So there's two real reasons, I think, that drive communication style. The first is what I would call sort of senior most or VIP communication. So at the end of the day, even if you like using a tool like chat or Slack or whatever it is, if your CEO or your senior most client doesn't want to talk or chat that way, you have to defer to their method of communication. So that drives one method of communication. The other is work style. What I see a lot is that depending on the type of worker you are, how you behave, how you like to get things done, that might drive your actual choice of communication method. So for example, I'm a very task-oriented person. I move very quickly. So I love talking to clients on instant message or to text them on my phone. Others prefer to marinate on things, take their time. So for them, sometimes email or even in-person conversations are better because they have time to think and prepare.
I went into this thinking that the differences would be generational or maybe based on industry, but that's not what you've seen?
Certainly, I think generations are driving the use of more popular technologies because certainly we know Gen Y, Gen Z, they're just more comfortable with technology than baby boomers or the silent generation are. But that doesn't mean that certain technologies are unique to those generations. In more traditional Fortune 500 companies, they're still deferring primarily to email, mostly because of cultural nuances and because that's what they're used to. And that's the behavior in the organization of how work gets done.
Okay, I want you to put on your consultant hat for a second, because in preparation for talking with you, my producer Eliza and I evaluated the different ways in which our team communicates. So we're half on the East Coast and half on the West Coast. And we Slack, we have Google Docs, email, we use WebEx, we have phone calls. How would you kind of address that if you came into work with us?
Well, first, it's figuring out what your primary tasks are during the day. If you're a radio show producer, for example, speed and time are of the essence. So yeah. I'd look first at what are the things that are urgent that have to happen during the day, and what are the best communications for those urgent tasks. For other things, stories or series that you might be working on over time, where you're talking to a number of different guests, doing interviews to build something up, then you might want to look at communication tools that allow for tracking of information. With chat, for example, it's really hard to make sure everyone sees it. But with email or even online project management tools, it's a lot easier to track notes and then directly point people back to those things. So I always recommend you start with what kind of work do you do and what are the things that drive that work? Is it speed? Is it time? And how much time do you have to actually get it done?
Yeah. I also am curious about the fact that the way we communicate with our colleagues seems to be, at least in these modern applications, mimicking some of the ways we communicate with our friends, that it's more casual, that tools like Slack or others, you can embed GIFs and emojis. I wonder if we are blurring the lines between professional and personal and what that means.
My friend Jason Seiden runs a company called Brand Amper, has a great term he uses called pro-personal. And it is this idea that those lives are in you know, continuing to cross. And I think the responsibility of our organizations is to recognize the nature of our professional lifestyles now and to put some guardrails around that. What's appropriate, what's not. There's this, I think, unique desire with company cultures to sort of be cool and have just a couple of core values and let employees decide what's right and what's wrong, what's appropriate, what's not. But in all of the workforce research we do at Exequo, employees tell us all the time, and this is employees of all generations, that they actually want rules. They want guardrails because it's so much easier when the organization says it's not appropriate to send gifts in company communication than it is for them to tell their friends or colleagues that that's the case. So it really falls to organizational culture to say, hey, here's what we value, and here are some of the work rules or behaviors around those values. And that can kind of help ensure that we are still moving forward, but it still allows us to have some guardrails around how we do it.
So assuming, if we will, that public radio is going to be around in 5 years, how do you think I'm going to be communicating with my team in 5 years?
I think you'll be communicating primarily through your mobile device for your everyday work. Quick conversations that you want to have, whether it's getting approval for something, whether it's trying to schedule an interview. And then I think we will still see some form of email or a merge of email and chat. So companies like Slack that are managing these kinds of quote-unquote project management tools will be enabling more opportunities to actually track conversations.
Susan Lamott, founder of Exequo HR, thank you so much.
Thank you.